Are we on?
Hello, my name is Emily Persico, and you are on the air with GASP. GASP, or the Group Against Smog and Pollution, increases awareness and promotes advocacy around southwestern Pennsylvania's poor air quality. In this episode, we will discuss the beautiful weather that spring is bringing, as well as all the baggage that comes along with it. We're telling our athletes, welcome to ozone season. Stay tuned. So, in keeping with tradition, I would like to kick off this episode with a short clip from Lisa Minetti. She was a guest on our last episode, talking about exercising in air pollution. So here goes.
When I actually have to, I cancel things. I just don't go because I'll get a headache, I'll start to feel asthma, and I don't want to live like that. It very often arrives on days like today when the weather is nice and you really want to get outside.
On days like today, as our weather starts to warm up, the ozone pollution in the air we breathe is actually increasing as well. It works like this. Factories, cars, smelly sprays, and even nature release nitrogen oxides and volatile organic compounds into the air, the precursors for ozone pollution. Together with a little bit of heat energy from the sun, these pollutants combine to create ozone, which is basically just three little oxygen molecules linked up, pretty similar to the oxygen that we breathe. But do not be fooled. It turns out that ozone is actually really bad for us. Lisa goes on to talk about canceled bike rides and having to change her exercise routine, all to avoid this pollution. And Lisa's not the only one who experiences this. Next on the show, we talk to Michelle Fetting, who is a devoted runner and environmental nonprofit consultant, and basically responsible for the fact that the Pittsburgh Marathon is alive and well in our city. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, how are you?
Great. So when did you first realize that air pollution was a problem for athletes in our region?
Well, several years ago when I first started running, I used to live on the south side and I would run up McArdle. And I think I really started to notice the pollution just from the exhaust of all of the traffic congestion, you know, and I really would feel the effects on my lungs after I ran. And I didn't really understand what it was. I thought maybe it was because I was running up a steep hill. But looking back and knowing, you know, knowing what I know now, I was probably really feeling the effects of diesel pollution.
Michelle runs competitively in the marathon that she helped revive. For those of you who don't know, a marathon is 26 miles, a distance that many runners are able to traverse in just about 5 hours or less. For many, time is of the essence, and unfortunately for those who are competing in Pittsburgh, air pollution is likely slowing them down. Essentially, it acts as a competitive disadvantage. Michelle shed some light on this topic.
You're breathing in a lot of polluted air. It is going to affect your lung capacity. I mean, we know that poor air quality has been linked to asthma, neurological deficits, you know, even cancer and low birth weights. I mean, air pollution really has a very heavy toll. And so I think that those health effects are happening, whether it's obvious or not. I think the fact that Allegheny County ranks in the top 2% of counties in the U.S. for cancer risk from air pollution, that is something that affects me personally because this is my home. You know, I don't want that statistic to be preventing people from coming here and moving here, working here, living here, or coming to run any of our events, you know, like the Pittsburgh Marathon.
Definitely. And it's hard to imagine that that isn't happening. The EPA sets standards, which are limits, essentially, for six pollutants, which they call the criteria air pollutants. So these pollutants are common, and unfortunately, they're also harmful to our health and the environment. So in our region, we are not reaching the standard for half of the criteria air pollutants, which are fine particulates or PM2.5, ground level ozone, and sulfur dioxide. So for nearly three quarters of the year, the Pittsburgh region's air ranks moderate to unhealthy on the EPA's air quality index. What do you do in the face of this pollution?
Well, I mean, I think we have to really look to the parties that are responsible for keeping our air clean. I mean, I look to the Allegheny County Health Department. the Department of Environmental Protection in Pennsylvania, the EPA, you know, has a responsibility to uphold the federal standards and the Clean Air Act. You know, these are the people that are responsible for protecting us. And really, they're the only ones that can make sure that these companies are not breaking the law and making our air worse than it already is.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned that. The Allegheny County Health Department is certainly a huge part of the equation. And just as it's their job to hold companies accountable, it's also our job to hold them accountable. Now, you've been a champion for healthy air, for athletics, and for your own health. In 2007, you were diagnosed with cancer. And at that same time you were fighting the cancer, you also began your fight for the Pittsburgh Marathon. So athletics is obviously very important for you. What role does it play in your life?
Well, running is very important to me. It is a big part of my life. I always think of running as it's my time. It's when I can get out and just decompress from the stresses of the day. You know, I have three kids, and you know, while they were growing up, I always looked to my run as my daily escape. It's when I would regroup and just relax.
Yeah, and you've obviously put a lot of effort into making it part of other people's lives as well with the Pittsburgh Marathon. Mm-hmm. What impact do you hope it'll have on them?
Well, I just hope that people recognize that it's a lifelong sport. It's something that can start when you're a little kid. You know, what little kid doesn't like to run? But just, you know, I think participating in any, even walking, you don't have to run, you can walk, but just participating in community events like a 5K or a 10K, it's a huge accomplishment. And I think it really makes you feel good about yourself. And I think getting out there and participating in community running events is something everyone should do. And I hope that, you know, I hope that they will.
Michelle is getting at the many health benefits of exercising, which include raising self-esteem and promoting general mental health, as well as boosting energy levels, delaying and preventing a whole host of diseases, and maintaining bone density, all while increasing muscle strength. The list goes on. Girls on the Run, which is a program based out of McGee Women's Hospital of UPMC, combines all of these ideas and uses it to empower girls through running. Meredith, the Council Director of Girls on the Run, joins us to talk about the program.
Girls on the Run is a national program for girls in grades 3 to 8 and combines a 10-week wellness curriculum with training for a 5K. And it's a program that encompasses the whole person, not just physical health, but emotional, social, mental, and spiritual. So it's learning lessons about how to get along with others, how to stand up for yourself, how to make intentional decisions. We have girls of all different athletic abilities. We have girls who join for more social reasons or join because their friends were joining. And then we have girls, too, that, you know, they have no physical activity outside of PE class.
Wow. So that's just a little bit of everyone, huh? Do you come across a lot of girls with asthma?
We do. We absolutely do. It's, I would say there's at least one child almost on every team with asthma.
Wow. And do you notice a difference in those children when they're physically active? Are they ever like afraid to be physically active?
The kids kind of learn to adapt and learn where kind of their limits are and when they can push them. So I think the child often mirrors or what kind of attitude or view that their parents have about their asthma and their condition. And some cases are very mild and some cases are more severe. So, you know, we heard from doctors and research that exercise is actually good for people with asthma. So, of course, we encourage them to do as much as they can.
Building confidence is definitely a super significant way that we can help these kids. But regardless of how confident a kid is, exposure to air pollution, like ozone, triggers asthma symptoms. So, did the girls learn about air quality at all during the program? Is it ever like...
No. The Girls on the Run curriculum doesn't address it.
Do you think it's important to talk to kids about air pollution at all?
I think it's important to address it more so with their parents. Just to give you an example, we have worked with Safe Kids Allegheny, that's safety and injury prevention through Children's Hospital. And one of the topics that, you know, we kind of focus on in partnership with them where they discussed concussions, and the girls took things very literally. And I think not to scare them, but I think they can interpret that information in various ways. So I think it's important to educate the parents on air quality, because it's oftentimes that the parents or guardians are taking them to the places, or letting them go outside, or letting them go to the park or wherever.
So Meredith brings up a great point. Air pollution is really, really scary, and it's especially hard to talk about it with vulnerable populations like children. So I have Dr. Deborah Genta with me here today to dig a little bit deeper into these issues. She is a pediatrician and a member of the Division of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology at the Pediatric Alliance.
So what does that mean exactly? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
I spend about 40% of my time taking care of patients, and then the rest of my time I spend on research, which includes a variety of school-based and community-based asthma initiatives.
So when are you typically the busiest in kind of the patient care section?
We're very busy once we start to hit these spring, summer, and even early fall months. Those are the times that we see pollens peak as well as ozone peaking. Sometimes we still have overlap with respiratory season. So that's typically when we're our busiest with both allergies and asthma.
Wow, so that overlaps almost directly with ozone season, which is strongest during the summer, but really lasts all the way from April through September. So I'd like to talk just a little bit more about this. From my understanding, ozone is a super reactive gas, and that's why it's dangerous to breathe. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, basically ozone is a known trigger of asthma exacerbations. Basically, if you have any type of breathing problems, asthma or COPD, exposure to ozone can worsen your symptoms and cause an exacerbation. That's also true if you have cardiac disease. So what happens is patients with these problems are inhaling these particles, and they can actually trigger an attack.
What does an attack feel like for people who don't have asthma?
Yeah, an attack is really frightening. If you've ever seen someone have it, they're gasping for breath. Basically, a lot of patients will describe it as trying to breathe through a straw. It's also life-threatening. Fortunately, we don't see too many deaths each year from asthma, but they still do occur, several thousand a year across the U.S.
Yeah. So what do you tell kids who have asthma?
Basically, we can control asthma if we're able to eliminate exposures to irritants. So we do want to try to reduce any exposures that we know trigger them, particularly on ozone days, high ozone days. We want them to stay indoors. We don't want them outdoors exercising, because that we know that can cause a problem. You know, we can't cure asthma once it's there, but we do have medicines that help control the problem. The ultimate goal is to really try to prevent exposure to the triggers, including ozone. You know, but until we can manage all that, we do have to treat them.
High ozone days are not uncommon during these warmer months of the year, meaning that encouraging kids to get exercise outside is sometimes in direct conflict with avoiding triggers. So how are children supposed to navigate this strange dichotomy of whether to exercise or whether to avoid triggers?
We want them to exercise indoors on those days with air conditioning. We don't want windows open.
Is exercise good for people with asthma?
So exercise is good for everyone to a degree, but we know that athletes or those who are exercising, you know, regularly outdoors during high ozone days, they actually have increased asthma symptoms. That's because they're breathing faster than someone who's just at rest or walking. And the fact that they're breathing faster and they're breathing deeper, they're inhaling the ozone down into their lungs further and more rapidly. So they're actually getting a higher exposure.
Okay.
That's why we recommend that they pretty much limit their activities to indoors with air conditioning on those days.
So asthma can be quite debilitating at times. And as you said, there is no cure once someone is diagnosed with asthma. So maybe instead of just talking about how we can avoid the triggers, can we maybe shift to talk about just avoiding the disease altogether? So to start us off, maybe, can you just tell us what are the causes of asthma?
So there tends to be a family history of it. And then we also think early exposures to different triggers can cause you to develop asthma. Also, we think that when children are still developing, we know their lungs are not fully developed until they're about 7 years of age, and their immune system is still developing those first several years of life, so we think those are key exposure periods. There's actually been a study from Canada that shows women during pregnancy, their exposure to different pollutants actually increases the child's risk of having asthma after they're born.
Wow. So in Allegheny County, we have pretty high levels of air pollution. So what are the rates of asthma here compared to elsewhere?
Yeah, we generally tend to think that the overall rate of asthma in the U.S. is about 9%. In the state overall, it runs about 10%. Some of our studies looking at these neighborhoods that are next to outdoor sources of air pollution, they're actually showing us levels as high as about 22% of the children who go to school near these. The Allegheny County Health Department recently did a large survey of 8,000 adults, and they actually found elevated levels of asthma as well. And they were highest in African Americans and lower socioeconomic status. Their rates were actually hitting in the low 20% as well. Many other inner cities with these vulnerable populations report similar rates. So these numbers, you know, are alarming, but they aren't unexpected.
The point that Dr. Gentile is making is a critical one. There are groups of people that are more vulnerable to air pollution than others, and this can be for two reasons. One is that some people react more severely to the air pollution they are breathing in, which is the case with pregnant women and with children who are still developing, as well as with the elderly whose respiratory and immune systems are weaker. The other reason a group may be vulnerable is because they're breathing in more pollution. This is the case with athletes.
There are many competitive athletes that don't have asthma symptoms until they become more elite, and that's because they're actually breathing in, you know, more rapidly and deeper. So they may not manifest symptoms of exercise-induced asthma unless they're real competitive.
Athletes aren't the only ones breathing in more air pollution. This is also the case with people living near sources of air pollution, usually people of color and low-income communities. So what are the sources of air pollution impacting people in our region?
Basically, we've done a lot of work in the Woodland Hills School District, so those children are many of them are right near that Braddock Steel Mill, and then we've also heavily worked in the Clairton School District. Those children are near Clairton Coke Works. We've done some work in Northgate, and they had been near the Shenango facility before it closed several years ago. And the other place we heavily looked at was out in Cheswick, right next to the power plant.
So these children are going to school and playing outside pretty near these gigantic polluters, and you're finding it's having a direct impact on their health.
One of my colleagues actually did a study years ago. He took children who were exposed to high levels of pollution from the city and moved them to a rural environment for a camp for a week. And he actually showed that after just 1 week of being removed from the environment, there were decreases in the inflammation associated with asthma. Wow. And they were able to detect that with breathing tests that looked at inflammation as well as lung function. So definitely limiting your exposure helps prevent exacerbations. You know, the long-term goal would be to really try to decrease pollution levels so that it's not there causing the problems.
Yeah, so that kids and adults can be right. Happy and healthy within right. The city and within our county.
Right. You know, many people don't have the luxury of just moving away, especially many of these vulnerable populations. So we would really recommend they get routine care for their problem.
Do you talk about air pollution with your patients?
I think it's important to talk about it. I think it's something that's neglected. I think that as we go through training, we don't think about it a lot. We focus on smoking and allergens. There's a focus on obesity. There's some relationship with the inflammation from being overweight or obese and asthma. I think people tend to not see the pollution, so they don't think about it as much. In the past, I used to advise patients against known triggers such as bonfires and burning candles in the house, but certainly air pollution needs to be addressed, and I obviously do that now, but I think it needs to be emphasized more in the education of of doctors and other healthcare professionals. The other thing is that air pollution doesn't just contribute to asthma. As we mentioned before, it contributes to other respiratory diseases such as COPD, cardiac disease. It's also been associated with premature mortality and higher cancer rates. So there's many broad health effects by decreasing exposure to pollutants.
Wait, let me just put everything on pause for a second. Or maybe replay?
But certainly air pollution needs to be addressed. I think it's something that's neglected. I think that as you go through, we go through training, we don't think about it a lot. We focus on...
Let's go back to Slow Friday. Meredith? Did the girls learn about air quality at all during the program? Is it ever like...
No. The girls on their own curriculum doesn't address it.
So wait a second here. We've heard from every guest on the show the many known health consequences of breathing in air pollution, especially for vulnerable populations like athletes. And yet, we also hear that doctors and coaches are not talking about it. Is it because it's invisible? Or maybe we don't know how to talk about it? Or once we've learned about it, what we can do? Well, it's a problem, and GASP Education and Events Coordinator Chelsea Arnold is working to fix it. Hi, Chelsea.
Hey.
So, many people may find it surprising that athletes are a sensitive population, and perhaps that's just because we don't really talk about it. Dr. Gentile says that it's not really addressed among doctors, and Meredith says that Girls in the Run curriculum also doesn't talk about it. Do you think that there are any barriers of trying to get people to talk about ozone pollution?
In our region, there's a lot of misconceptions about air pollution, which I think is like a barrier that just turns people off. They think about how industrialized we were in the past, and everyone gets a picture of Pittsburgh with black skies. And so when you look outside today, you think, oh, it's so much better, so I don't have to worry about it. So because of that, a lot of people don't want to talk about it. Also, a lot of people think that our pollution comes from other areas and that there's nothing we can really do about it, which is also... just a misconception, but whenever you think that there's no solution to a problem, it's easier just to ignore it. And yeah, it can be overwhelming. I mean, it can be overwhelming for anybody, just like a lot of the issues that we have to deal with today, but I think that just getting people to realize that it takes a lot of people and a lot of change, like a social, like a whole social change.
So Chelsea coordinates one of our campaigns called Athletes United for Healthy Air. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, our goal is to do kind of like fun athletic activities like hikes or bike rides or kayak trips and teach people about air quality and then kind of give them some tools to learn how to stay active outdoors while minimizing their exposure, teaching people the best ways to protect themselves and stay healthy, and also just creating more citizens who are active in the fight for clean air.
And I just want to clarify here. When Chelsea talks about athletes, she means any person who is breathing in more air pollution than normal, which means anyone at all who is physically active outside.
So if you're walking your dog, you're outside, like along the street, we consider that an athlete. So really just anybody who's doing any kind of activity outdoors that might increase their exposure.
And so athletes are vulnerable because they're breathing in more air pollution, correct?
Yeah. So a lot of people, when they think of sensitive groups to air pollution, you think about people who already might be sick or small children. But the truth is that athletes are also a sensitive population, and it's just really a matter of exposure. They're outside more where the pollution is. They're breathing deeply, and so the campaign is really just to get athletes to know that they're part of this sensitive population and to educate them on how they can still stay athletic outdoors but protect themselves from air pollution.
So I just want to make this crystal clear for our listeners. Is exercising outside in our region unhealthy?
No. Maybe some days that might be the case. If it's really heavily polluted day, then probably you shouldn't be outside. Nobody should be. But it's not about trying to, like, convince people that they shouldn't be outdoors. It's more about just knowing the when and the where to do your activities so that you're more protected and less exposed to the pollution.
So what is the when and the where?
Mostly, we would suggest not rush hour and not near traffic. We talked a little bit about the ozone seasons. Ozone mostly forms whenever it's warmer. If you exercise in the early morning or in the evening after it cools down a little, you have a better chance to minimize your exposure to that pollution. But also, depending on inversions, that might be worse. A lot of it is just checking the AQI and being aware of point sources around you, like traffic and things like that.
And the AQI is the Air Quality Index. It can be found online at airnow.gov. To quote Dr. Gentile, all exercise is good to a point. In our region, that point really just depends upon how much air pollution you're breathing in and your personal susceptibility. Wait, hold on. What's that noise? What is that? I think it's our call to action alert. Oh, hey. So today's call to action is to get outside. We know that all this pollution talk can be discouraging and scary, but it is so important to stay active. Believe it or not, athletes are actually better equipped to handle the stresses of air pollution on the body. Granted, they are breathing more in, but when exercise is done mindfully, the benefits from getting outside can far outweigh the consequences of air pollution. That's why the Group Against Smog and Pollution and Venture Outdoors are teaming up for a bike ride on the Three Rivers Heritage Trail. Together, we will enjoy the outdoors with air quality monitors in tow. We'll talk about the dangers of air pollution, as well as what you need to know to stay safe and advocate for healthy air. Join us on Saturday, May 19th from 9 a.m. to noon. Check out our episode show notes for details. You've been listening to On the Air with Gas. For this episode, we'd like to thank our guests, Michelle Fetting, Meredith Colese, Deborah Gentile, and Chelsea Arnold. We'd also like to thank Ned and Kevin Mulcahy for sound and editing help. This podcast is funded by the Qualcomm Foundation. Learn more and get notes from this episode at gasp-pgh.org/media. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and review us on iTunes and Stitcher, and stay tuned for our next episode in 1 month. We'll see you then.